Let me encourage you to get the bulletin out that you were given today, because there's going to be a couple of references to things in the bulletin. If you don't have one, if you raise your hand, Tracy has some back there. She'll get them to you. Anybody not have one? We'll get to something I want you to look at here in just a couple of minutes. I really appreciate your being here today. I know that New Year's Day is a time when folks find lots of other things to watch, lots of television programs to enjoy, and I appreciate you coming here and being together with us. We're starting a new year, and the major theme of the comic strips and television programs and everything else is resolutions. And you hear a lot of people say, well, I don't do resolutions because I can't keep them. Well, for a Christian, I think resolutions can be kept because we have a spirit that can help us keep them. I want to talk about this idea of new that we just sang about. What does the word new mean to you? Something new. You say, well, it's something nobody else has used. Okay? Or you say, well, it's something that is uncontaminated. Nobody screwed it up. You know, I don't know. Sometimes things don't work even when they're new. In relationships, somebody says, well, it's a new relationship. Somebody or something that didn't have a past. Well, that's a little naive. You mean they don't have a past to know about. But the basic theme of the New Testament is newness. And the biblical definition of new is not the same as anything I just went through. You know, Carl read a song to us. It is a hard song to sing. It's one of those things where you need somebody with flair and a booming voice. But the title of it was The New Song. And I hope you listen carefully to the concept of newness that song expressed. They sang in heaven a new song. You know, God has always called man to a new song. Psalms 33, verse 3. Praise the Lord. Make music to him. Sing to him a new song and shout for joy. Psalms 40 and verse 3, he put a new song in my mouth. A new song. A hymn of praise to our God. Psalms 96, 1, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Psalms 98, 1, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done wondrous things. Psalms 140, verse 9, I will sing a new song to you, O God. Isaiah 42 and verse 10, sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the ends of the earth. And in the book of Revelation, there are so many new song references, I decided not to read them all. We'd be here half an hour listening to the references. But they're all like, for instance, Revelation 5 and verse 9, they sing a new song. You are worthy to take the scroll and to open it. And they sang a new song before the throne. See, this is not the same idea. You say, what is somebody making up all these songs? Is this what's involved here? That you got a bunch of hymn writers that are writing new songs and they're cranking them out, and David had to write a new song every time he came around? See, the problem is that we don't understand the biblical concept of newness. And so I'd like for us to do a little word study this morning. If you look in your bulletin, there's a definition. It says word study under the section on new song. And this is a statement from Vine's Expository Dictionary of Biblical Words, which is considered to be the most scholarly way of understanding what a word in Hebrew was attempting to convey. Let's read it together. I want you to notice what it says. First of all, the word is written there, if you want to look it up. And then it says, it denotes new, of that which is unaccustomed or unused, not new in time. I want to emphasize that. Not new in time. See, if you have a new car, it means it hadn't been around very long. That's time. You have a new house, that means that house was just built. That's new in time. You got a new headache, that's one you didn't have yesterday. New in time. So this is different. But new is a form or quality of a different nature from what is what is contrasted as old. You hearing that? It's new as contrasted with old. New covenant, new commandment, new character, new name, new life of the quickened spirit of the believer. And notice then Vine's statement that the ancient writers of the Bible understood that it is impossible to dissociate this from the operation of the Holy Spirit by whose power the service is rendered. Something new. Let me ask you something. Are you different today than you were yesterday? A year ago, you made a New Year's resolution, maybe. Maybe a spiritual one. You say, well, didn't keep it. Don't even remember it. Well, okay. But I hope that if you made a spiritual resolution, you've made some progress on that. I think it's important to understand that when we begin a new year and we talk about newness, that newness has to do with our relationship to God. What David is doing with the new songs, what we will do in heaven, what we just sang about, singing a new song when we're with the Lord, is not that we're going to sing something that has different lyrics than what we had here upon the earth. What it's saying is that our song will be a different understanding. A different understanding of what the song means. You know, sometimes we sing a song, and I'm not critical of songwriters here, but I think sometimes they don't match the music to the lyric. And my favorite example, which some of you heard me talk about before, is Amazing Grace. You know, Amazing Grace is sung like a funeral dirge. It's slow. How sweet the sound. You know, it's very, very slow. And sometimes I've had us sing that song to the tune of Joy to the World. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. That's a joyous thing. I think the guy that wrote that song blew it. Because he didn't make the music fit the lyric. And that's exactly what the new song concept is about in the Bible. That when we come to worship together and we sing a song, that our spirit's going to be involved with that song. That we're going to think about the lyric. Richard's been telling us sometimes, he's got a book up here. As a matter of fact, it's stuck in the pew. Hymns. Inspiring stories, about 600 hymns and praise songs. I don't know where in the world he found this, but it tells where the hymn came from. And that's helping us to have a new song. You know, we need today, as we are together, to make a New Year's resolution that we're going to be different in our singing. That when we sing songs, we're going to look at what the lyric of the song is. One thing I like about this, the men in this congregation is, but they don't make up the songs as we go. As a matter of fact, they call me, and they all do this. And what's your sermon on? And they try to fit songs to the message of the sermon. That's wonderful. So many times, and I've made reference to this actually happened, where the preacher's sermon title was, Will There Be Any Stars in My Crown? And the song leader right under that had chosen the song, No, Not One. And that's typical of what happens sometimes with our singing. That we don't fit the new song concept to our worship. When you sing at home, and I hope you do sing at home, when you listen to songs on the radio, if there's a song that has spiritual significance, Think about the meaning of the song. God calls us to a new song. And all those psalms that talk about song, that talk about new songs, help me sing a new song. David's wanting to find a new way to praise God. A new way to thank God for something special that happened in his life. Or a song that expresses our heartbreak. I'd also like to suggest to you that God has called us to new living. And again, I want to remind you of what the word means here. It doesn't mean new as opposed to old. Look at that definition again. But new as to form or quality of different nature from what is contrasted as old. New character. New life of a quickened spirit of the believer. And that statement goes on to point out that the Holy Spirit has a part of that. Lamentations 3, starting with verse 22, has something that's in our songbook, actually. You'll recognize it. But it's a discussion of God's role in the way in which we live. Lamentations 3, beginning with verse 22, because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fall. They are new every morning. Recognize that? That's in one of our psalms. His compassions are new every morning. When you get up in the morning, what do you think about? Going to work? What's the weather? Oh, the kids are late again. Take some time to be new every morning. Because God's compassions are new. God's concern for you are new. He looks forward to the new day and what he has planned for you. Great is your faithfulness. Oh, there's another thing that we read in our songbook, isn't it? I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. Are we asking God to help us deal with the problem in our lives? Are we forcing a solution our own? The Lord is good to those whose hope is in him, to the one who seeks him. What is your hope? Is your hope in Donald Trump? Is that where your hope is? To some politician, to some political leader? See, for a Christian, those things are of secondary significance. Our hope is in God. Our hope is in Jesus. It is Christ that gives us the capacity to deal with what happens in life. The good and the bad. Because Jesus is not naive. He knows there will be problems in our lives. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. That's the end of Lamentations. You know, Jesus gave a good picture of an application of this. In Luke 5, beginning with verse 36, Jesus says, no one tears a patch from a new garment and sews it on an old one. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, everything I had had patches on it. You know? They didn't have a Goodwill and Salvation Army back in those days. I mean, it was somebody else's rags that were sewed on to the new things that we have. But Jesus says, no one takes a patch from a new garment and throws on an old one. If he does, he will have torn the new garment. Well, yeah, you messed up what was better than the one you're fixing. And the patch from the new will not match the old. Let me put that in practical 21st century human terms. You can't take old lifestyles and patch them into being a new Christian. You can't take old lifestyles and patch them into being a Christian. You see, if you have a new life, like the new garment, you don't want to take something out of that. You don't want to cut something out of there. Sometimes we want to do that. You know, there's something we really like that was sinful back in our old life. And we'd like to lift the Christian teaching out and put that old style in. But you know, if drinking was a problem when you were not a Christian and you patch it into when you are a Christian, it's not going to work. If profanity was a part of your whole life, and I had that struggle big time, you can't patch it in to a new Christian life. It won't work. It didn't for me. It won't for you. You can't take an involvement with pornography and patch it in to the Christian life. Colossians 3 verse 10 says, put on the new self. Christians become new. We're different. Nothing from the old is patched into the new, which is being, and notice the rest of that statement, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You see, the more we become renewed in knowledge, the more we understand of God's word, the more capable we will be of really having a new self. We're starting some new classes right now. I hope I can encourage you to come and be a part of these classes. This morning, Carl finished the Sermon on the Mount. That's been a long study. What, 2.5 years? That's how much material there is in the Sermon on the Mount. And not Carl's problem, it's our problem. We get into the teachings of Jesus and all kinds of applications start showing up. So many things that we want to talk about that connect with being new in Christ. And what he's doing now is he's starting on major personalities. This morning we started on Adam. And one of the things that I tried to throw into that class was the fact that we have to decide when we're talking about Adam what we believe about Adam. I'll probably give a sermon on that again before too long. But was Adam a myth? Was Adam some kind of just a story that people cooked up and there was no such man? Is it simply a symbolic picture of the evolution of man and God turning that animal into human? Or was it a miracle? See, there's all kinds of issues connected to it. This is practical stuff, folks. Be renewed in knowledge. Know how to answer that kind of question. Because our grandkids are going to have to be given answers. Our kids are going to be given challenges that we have to be there to help answer. So put on a new self. Be renewed in knowledge. On Wednesday night, we're talking about the book of Galatians. And one thing about Galatians is that the whole book deals with don't let legalism be the way you handle yourself religiously. Rely upon Jesus. Be a new self. So this discussion about newness is what our whole study of Galatians is about. We're going to see that theme come up again in Ephesians. We're going to see it come up again in Hebrews. As a matter of fact, in Hebrews 10, beginning with verse 19, the writer says, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place with the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, there's new again, open to us through his body. So as we celebrated communion here a few moments ago, we had an opportunity for newness. Every time we partake of the emblems, to focus back on that incredible sacrifice that was made for us, it helps us be new. So Ephesians 4, beginning with verse 22, says, with regard to your former way of life, put off your old self. Here we are, beginning of a new year. Put 2016 behind you. Put everything that was a struggle last year behind you. If you had a bad year with your mouth, put it behind you. If you had a bad year with your disease, with your desires, put it behind you. If you had a bad year and how much time you gave to the Lord, put it behind you. Be a new self. So Ephesians says, put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new with an attitude of your minds. That's the newness, folks, the way we think. And put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. And you go on through Ephesians 4, and we'll get to that in our Wednesday night study eventually, and you'll see a whole bunch of practical suggestions about how we become new. So 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 sort of summarizes that whole discussion. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, He is a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. On Wednesday night, I've been giving the class a quiz at the start of every class. And one of the questions that's been on every quiz is, what is the gospel? I'm not sure the first Wednesday night anybody got it right. But we are now. We know the new gospel is the understanding that we have been a way to be restored to God, that God can put us back to what we had with Adam and God's relationship. We can restore that relationship. That's the gospel, the good news, that God wants us back. That God wants us back. That's incredible. Sometimes you wonder why he wants us back. But then you look at the plan and the battle between good and evil and you get the answer to that. So as we begin this new year, let us begin a new way of living, a new attitude, and let us learn to enjoy it. And finally, this morning, folks, let me suggest to you that one part of this newness is looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth. One of my youth rallies one time, I had a kid say to me, "I don't want to go to heaven." I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, it's boring. I don't want to sit around and sing praises to God all day, 24/7. That's boring." I said, "Man, you don't understand what a new heaven is, what newness is. First place, time has ended. You can't be bored if there's no time, because being bored depends upon time. So we can eliminate that one right now. But let's listen to what the new heaven is about." And I go back to Isaiah 65 for this one. Listen to this description of what it's going to be like when this life is done. And I don't have much time left, so I'm getting close to this one, folks. Listen to what it's going to be like. This is what the sovereign Lord says. "My servants will eat, my servants will drink, my servants will rejoice. My servants will sing out of the joy of their hearts." There's the singing. If you really feel good, you're singing. "Past troubles will be forgotten and hidden from my eyes." Don't have to have all those problems anymore. "Behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered anymore, nor will they come to mind. In the new Jerusalem, the sound of weeping and of crying will be heard no more. Never again will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days." You lose a baby. I'm sure some of you have either had that experience or have been close to someone who did. What pain. Won't have it again. "Nor an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. Won't have the symbols of old age, arthritis, all that. They will build houses and dwell in them. They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They will not toil in vain or bear children doomed to misfortune." Don't have to worry about what your kids do. "For they will be a people blessed by the Lord. Before they call, I will answer. While they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together, and the lion will eat straw like an ox." And he goes on in verse 22 and says, "And it will endure." Now, we could spend a lot of time dissecting that. But what it says is it's going to be new. It's going to be new. You're going to have a whole different attitude. You're going to have a whole different joy. Don't you want that? You really want to continue to exist in a place like this for eternity? And it specifically points out what we won't have. We won't have all those things that hurt. Revelation 21, beginning with verse 1, says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." There's that word again. "For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." Now, it should be pretty obvious that that is not a city. You know, cities don't get dressed as a bride. They don't float around like that. It's talking about something that's holy, because that's what Jerusalem was about. And he goes on and tells us more about that. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Man. There will be no more death, no more mourning, no crying, no pain. Tuesday, I have to preach a funeral of a dear friend. Lived on the south side of South Bend. And I've already heard the mourning and the crying and the pain. Been reminded once again of how tough life can be. But in the new world, the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. New. And let me say it again. That doesn't mean not old. It's not new like the new car. It's not new like the new house. It's not new like whatever you got for Christmas. It's new joy. It's new peace. It's a new attitude of appreciation of the blessings that you have. A thankfulness to God. A new quality of life. New in praise. New in gratitude. New in how you live. Not patching the old world into the new. Not patching the sins that you've struggled with in. Because you won't even remember those things. They'll be gone. And we here are working for an understanding and for a new existence. So we have the joy of serving this community. Isn't it a wonderful thing that we'll have people coming here this afternoon because they want to have food and they know one place to come to get it? What a joyous thing. I love going to Timbers. Here we have people who have been abandoned by their families. Many of them spent the Christmas holidays alone. I had one woman in December when we were there saying, you know, I really hate Christmas. I said, why? She said, because I'll sit in my room on the 25th and cry all day long. Isn't that terrible? But that's what some of those folks are. And so we go and they smile. They're glad to see us. They enjoy singing together. What a blessing. We can learn that some of the greatest things in life come in our newness. And you say, well, you know, I know all that's wonderful, but I'm not sure I can do it. That's not you that has to do it. That's why we have the indwelling of God's Spirit. When you become a Christian, according to Acts 2 and verse 43, God's Spirit dwells within us. It gives us the capacity to do it. You can do it. You can be new. But don't rely upon yourself. Have that new song. Make that a regular way of communicating with God. Of building yourself up, of having the strength to be what God calls you to be. We're singing a song this morning that talks about life and about the opportunity that God is always available to us to come up new in life. And if you have a special need to bring to us this morning, won't you do that as together we stand and sing. Let's sing together, number 67.